So the text is 16 through 36, so I guess we should chant the Sanskrit together first. Okay, so this is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 13, Description of Future Manus, Text 36. Rajangs chatur dasaitani Trikalanu gatani te Proktani ebir mita kalpo Yuga sahasra parayayaho Rajan, O King, Chaturdasha, 14, Etani, all these, Trikala, the three periods of time, past, present, and future, Anugatani, covering. Te, you, I say to you. Proktani, described. Ebihi, by these. Mitaha, estimated. Kalpaha, one day of Brahma. Yuga Sahasra, 1,000 cycles of four yugas. Pariyayaha, consisting of Rajangs Chatur Dashaitani Trikalanu Gatani Te Proktiabhir Mitha Kalpo Yuga Sahasra Pariyaha. O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. This is called a kalpa, or one day of Brahma. Please repeat. O King, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. This is called a kalpa, or one day of Lord Brahma. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 8th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of Future Manus. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very systematic. How many major Puranas are there?
18.
Okay, 18. How many minor Puranas are there? Many, yeah, okay. So, most of the Puranas don't have commentaries. Yeah. And out of those that do have commentaries, there's about 140 major commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. One time, one of our friends, a scholar, he gave me this commentary, and it was by an atheist. His idea was that everything is evolving. It's getting better by chance. That's one weak point. What is chance? Okay. By chance, we get new forms, which have... Okay, I won't get into it here. Okay, evolution. Okay. Anyway, things are getting better by chance and natural selection. So his idea was that after chance and natural selection had created human beings, had created lawyers and software engineers, and then had created God, right? Because by chance God is, created with the by human society creating God. Then the highest production of evolution was the Srimad Bhagavatam. That was his conclusion. And he was an atheist, but he was a well-educated Indian fellow. So his conclusion was that looking at everything around her, even if you consider us all coming from evolution, Srimad Bhagavatam is still the greatest thing on the planet. So even an atheist, what to speak of Shankara and everybody else? 140 major commentaries by atheists, everybody, unbelievable. After that comes the Skanda Purana with something like 70 commentaries, you know. So we can go on and on about the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, which very difficult for us to appreciate, you know. But most of the Puranas, they kind of start off with something, then they go to somebody else's biography, and they go to gem therapy for a while and come back to so and so. You can never quite figure out what they're actually their purpose is. But Srimad Bhagavatam is very clear. Okay, what is the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam? The verse that illuminates the whole purpose, everything else, one verse. Okay, yeah. And who declares that it's the Paribhasa Sutra? Jiva Goswami, yeah. Okay. Ete chamsa sakal pumsam. Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. Indrari Vyakalam Lokam. Mridiyanti Yuge Yuge. So this is right in the beginning. It's maybe the third chapter. And Suta Goswami gives different incarnations and their functions, their purposes. And then he says, but all these incarnations are either portions or portions of portions, but the original personality of Godhead is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, Krishna. Then he goes through nine cantos showing this, showing Lila avatars, Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Manvantars. And finally, we can see that, yeah, looking at all these, Krishna has qualities that none of the rest have, and they're all coming from him. They're all just his incarnations or expansions like that. So it's very systematic. And also beyond the development of the purpose, the didactic organization, how it's organized is very systematic. Of course, you can learn all this if you take a course on Bhakti Vaibhava and Bhakti Vedanta at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education. they bribe me before this lecture. Yeah. So I'm working with, I'm a member of the executive committee of the Executive Committee of the Ministry of Education of ISKCON. Right? I'm a member of the Executive Committee of the Ministry of Education of ISKCON. Okay, yeah. This is a title. I told my friend out there, Shuwala, that he should change his title from Shuwala to International Transportation Resource Officer. I'm an international transportation resource. But I'm Yeshuwala Krishna Balarama. Okay, so being a member of the executive committee of the Ministry of Education in ISKCON is about the same thing. We're struggling to develop education in ISKCON in a systematic fashion and doing a lot of work with Atul Krishna, Adi Purusha, Mother Prasanta, many people. And it's very satisfying when you go through and look at the books systematically for purpose, practical utility, and for fun. Oh, you discover so much. You know, it's very, very systematic. First two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Okay? And the first canto is more or less a preface. What is the purpose of this book? Under what circumstances was it produced? What are the qualifications of the author, the speaker? What are the qualifications of the audience? You know, what's expected from them? That's a preface. So in the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami actually starts his preaching. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Bhagavatam is presented again and again. You know, it's spiral. Same thing, again and again, but each time, different perspective, more depth. Hansaduta told us that Prabhupada said that every single psychological circumstance you can encounter is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So you'll find your own consciousness, your own situation, the people you're preaching to, you'll say, ah, a little daksha, ah, a little chaivanamuni, ah, yeah, okay. And here's how to go ahead. You know, so this is the greatest preaching tool, just taking all these stories to heart. You can help anybody. Okay, so then in the at the end of the second canto, the sages, they ask Suta Goswami, you mentioned that Vidura left home and he met Maitreya. Hey, Maitreya was there when Krishna gave his final instructions to Uddhava. You know, he heard those, you know. And so that must have been something really, really good like that. You know, just before Prabhupada left the Krishna Balaram Mandir, he pulled the temple president aside and talked to him very seriously for 15 minutes, okay, something. What did Prabhupada tell you? What did Prabhupada tell you? Yeah. So they want to hear what Maitreya and Vidura discussed. So third canto starts off how Maitreya and Vidura met, like that. And actually, what Krishna revealed to Uddhava was... What did Krishna reveal to Uddhava just before he left that was special? Okay, you should take this course at the VIHE. He revealed that his position in Dwarka was actually superior to his position as Mahavishnu. Matsthanam, how I'm actually fixed. I knew one Sikh guy when we were in San Francisco there, and he said, yes, Krishna is avatar, but he had some problem with the gopis. You know, he fell down like that. He had a little bit of deviation for some time with the gopis. You know, it's okay. Krishna is the Hindu love god, right? Yes, yeah, okay. So many people have different ideas about Krishna. But that's one idea, that Krishna is an incarnation, but the original personality of Godhead is Sriman Narayan, Mahavishnu, like that. But Krishna told Uddhava before he left, no, my position in Dwarka, having beautiful wives and all this opulence and everything else, is actually superior to my position as Mahavishnu. So Vidura should have asked this question for Maitreya. But Maitreya is like his father and all these other people are present. So he says, well, can you please tell me how, you know, Krishna keeps all this under control, how he creates the world, how he maintains it? Same question. So then Maitreya starts to talk about Sarga, you know, creation of Mahavishnu, all the elements, the books of how to run the prison. Visarga, creation by Brahma, which is going too slow because he needs to get a lot of bodies quick because everybody has different desires. You know? But it's too slow. But the Kumaras won't help. You know, they won't engage in biological reproduction. Okay? Right? Right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then comes Swayambhuva Manu and his wife. What's her name? Satarupa. And it says in the Bhagavatam, he has a big mustache and she has a good figure. That's what it says right there. So we're in business, right? Big mustache and a good figure. That's what it comes down to. I'm sorry, the whole thing like that. But they say, hey, look, we're doing Nirjala Ekadasi every day or something. Like, you know, we can't even, you know, get our enthusiasm behind these things. So if we're going to, you know, engage in biological reproduction, give bodies for all these living entities, become the father and mother of snakes, horses, dogs, cows, goats, demigods, okay, then we've got to be able to go down to a more, you know, earthly consciousness. But the problem with the earth is, what's happened to the earth? Yeah, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu have submerged it, yeah. Global warming. Prabhupada predicts global warming. Exactly like this, you know, back in the first few cantos. Anyway, so then Vraha appears, lifts the earth back up, and then Satarupa and Swayambhuva Manu are back in business, and they have how many children? Five. Okay. And what are their names in the order in which they appear in the Bhagavatam? Nope, not Priyavrata. The first one is... Nope. My gosh, you should go just across the field there. Go out the back door, head down the road to says Goshala and knock on the door and say, I want to take your course. VIG. Okay, I'm going to give you an acronym now. We challenge anybody in ISKCON to defeat us in acronyms. We figure that we hold the supreme position in ISKCON in acronyms. Okay. DAP UP. You got that? Take that away from the class. If you're Spanish, it's DAP OOP. Okay, but here's Italian, I don't know. DAP UP. Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada, Priyavrata. First is the Udi sisters. Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. Okay. Devahuti married, and their son was Kapila. Third canto finished. Okay. Akuti married Ruchi. And there, yeah, some was Yagna, and somebody who became, who was God, you know, somebody else. Okay. Very short. Then Prasuti married Daksha. And, their daughter was, and she committed suicide before she was big enough to have a baby. Wow. can you expand on that? Yeah, okay. So what happens? These genealogies are going by, and a little comment, and then Maharishi Parikha says, hey, wait a second, you know, before she was even big enough to have children, she committed suicide? This is, what is this? So the story of Daksha Yagna, okay, Devahuti Akuti Prasuti Uttanapada. And Uttanapada's son is Dhruva. So the whole story of Dhruva, fourth canto, the descendants of Dhruva, on down to Maharaj Parchunibarhi, yeah, whose sons were the Parchetas, right? And who heard the story of Paranjana. So the acronym for the fourth canto is DDPP. easy to remember. DDPP. Yeah. Daksha. No. Yeah. Daksha, Dhruva, Prithu, Parcheta. And Prithu's in that same line. But it could be DDPPP because you have Paranjana and everything else. Okay. So now we're going to go through the entire Bhagavatam in 20 minutes here. Okay. Anyway, we're moving ahead to the eighth canto. So the fifth canto, who do we have left? Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti, Uttanapada? Priyavrata. And then from, so the acronym for that one is Panarbabu, okay. Priyavrata and his son Agnidra, his son Nabi, and then Rishabhdev. And Rishabhdev's son is, famous son? Yeah, Bharata. And also the Navayogendras are also his sons, yeah. Okay. Panarbabu, and then Bhumandala. Yeah. Because Bharata, Maharaj Bharata becomes Jatabharata, and he describes Bhumandala and the universe like that. Yeah. Sixth canto. This was Advritaditi. Ajamil, daughters of Daksha, and then coming on down to Vritasura, who in his previous lives was Chitraketu, and then after that, Chitraketu, Vritasura. Oh, yeah. It finishes off with Diti or Aditi trying to do a sacrifice so she can kill her co-wife's children. These things are going on in ISKCON, yeah, in the higher planetary systems. You can take all these stories and put them into an ISKCON format. I just do it again and again, and everybody is shocked or amazed or like that, you know. Yeah, because we're living these things. We're becoming purified. We're getting higher levels of consciousness and so on. And so the problems that we find in ISKCON, hey, we can find the solution here. And maybe if we hear it before the problem occurs, then we can avoid the problem. Yeah, our very means of conquest. Yeah. Okay, so that's the sixth canto. That finishes Bhakti Vaibhava. Seventh canto is then continuing with the story of, where is it here? Vritasura. Because Vritasura was a demon, but actually at heart he was a devotee. Yeah. Indra, Vritasura is laughing when Indra's cutting his head off. He's cutting his head off there. It took some time, you know. And he says, Indra, you think you've won, right? You know, you've killed me in the battle. You think you've won. But I'm going to go back to the spiritual life, spiritual world for eternal life of bliss and knowledge, and you're going to stay in the material world. Who won, Indra? Who's the winner? So Indra's a little depressed, but goes back to his duty. Okay. So then Sukadeva Maharaj Parikshit asks, well, you say that, was it Samoham? Krishna is equal to everybody, right? Krishna doesn't have any friends or enemies. He's equal to everybody. But then how could he favor the demigods against the demons? You know, the Danavas, and again, Daityas and Danavas. You know, Daityas? Yeah, Daityas and Danavas. Adaityas, yeah. And Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami says, a very nice verse, however you approach Krishna, he reciprocates.
He's equal to everybody in that sense. So if you approach him as a lover, you know, the most beautiful boyfriend, he reciprocates like that. If you approach him out of fear or anger like Kamsa, he reciprocates like that. And if you approach him out of anger like, out of anger, then he reciprocates like that. And he tells him the story of Rajasuya sacrifice, and how Shishupal got this wonderful destination, even though he was accustomed to blaspheming Krishna again and again and again. Still, when Krishna killed him as an enemy, he got liberation, Sayuja Mukti or something like that. Yeah. So, that's interesting. In their previous lifetime, Shishupal and Dantavakra were Jai and Vijay, Hiranyakasipu and Hiranyaksha, Rava and Kumbhakarna, and Goralila they became Jagai Madai. And you can see the same character every time. One of them is kind of a mean, vicious guy, and the other one is just a big oaf who is just, you know, kind of stepping on people, you know, yeah. Okay, so then there's the whole story of Hiranyakasipu, you know, and Prahlad Maharaj, you know, because of this, to show how Krishna is equal to everybody. Okay. Then after that, at this Rajasuya sacrifice, Maharaj Yudhisthira then asks, well, what about, you know, dharma and spiritual development? So the seventh canto, there's a beautiful description of Varna Ashram Dharma in great detail. It's the most detailed description in the whole Bhagavatam. And excellent advice in terms of administration and different consciousness and street dharma and everything else like that. Yeah. Actually, in Bombay, when Prabhupada was inaugurating the Gurukula, he started it there. He lectured on the seventh canto on the character of a brahmachari, because he's inaugurating the Gurukula. And it's about, I think, maybe five lectures where Prabhupada's going through and, you know, commenting on his own purports. Yeah, commenting on his own purports. And it's interesting because he's showing us how to take his purports. Yeah. And it should be printed up as a separate little book, those lectures like that. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so finally, here we are, eighth canto. It was very advanced, you know. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We're already up to Krishna's hand, you know. Hello, how are you? Like that. Yeah, very advanced. Yeah, yeah. And so, Maharaj, what's the question? The whole canto starts off with one question. It generates the entire canto. Maharaj, you're a sannyasi. You should know all these things. Prabhupada would have the sannyasis in his room in Mayapur, and if they didn't know things, oh boy, they would come out different people after they went in. Yeah, yeah. Bhakti Bhai Bhava. Everybody's supposed to, all the sannyasis are supposed to have Bhakti Bhai Bhava. All the gurus are supposed to have Bhakti Vedanta. We're working on this, trying to make a good diploma. Yeah.
Asking about models.
Yes. He says, we've already discussed Swayambhuva Manu and all of his descendants and their devotional service and the incarnations. What about the other 13 Manus? Okay. Well, since you asked. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. During the fourth Manu, the Lord incarnated as Hari and saved the elephant Gajendra. So there's the whole story of Gajendra Moksha, and he's kind of like some guy who's got a good job. He's working in New York. He's got a kind of penthouse type apartment. He loves to drink beer and eat cottage cheese and watch the Discovery Channel on television. Big mode of goodness and ignorance. Yeah, Gajendra. You know. But then, Then somebody, you know, clamps onto his foot. You know, the elephant clamps onto his foot. It must have been the back foot, because if it was the front foot, he could have stomped on him or something, you know, like that. Yeah, yeah. And then nobody could help him. His wives couldn't help him. His friends couldn't help him. They just sat there. You know. So very interesting description how Prabhupada in the purport talks about Varna Ashram, how this is the example of somebody not in their proper ashram. You know? Some people fight in grihastha ashram best. Some people fight in vanaprastha ashram. You get to find your ashram and preach.
Some of our disciples, Prabhupada says, have been given sannyas because of the emergency, but then they're not really apt, really fit for it. So we have told them to return to grihastha ashram, where they can fight. Because the important thing is not your ashram, the important thing is engaging in the battle, you know, the fight with Maya. Yeah. So, very, very interesting story, you know, of a big fellow like that. Yeah. Okay, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, then 5, I think it's 6. Yeah. In the 6th Manu, we have the story of the incarnation of no Pujaris here. Kachapa, right? Korma. Korma is a turtle. Turtle. And he had, what was happening with it when they were churning on his back? He was satisfying some desire. He had an itchy back. Some itch on his back. So he was, I like this incarnation, this Leela. Yeah. So, but korma can actually be divided into two sections. The first, of course, is that the demigods and demons want to churn the ocean. And what do they want to get out of it? Amrita, become immortal. But what's the first thing to come out? Is it halhala or something? Yeah. And it's going to destroy everybody. It's a terrible poison. So this happens. When we engage in devotional service, we intensify our service. What happens? Poison comes out, right? It's like, yeah, we start becoming angry about things, or lusty desires come out. Yeah. So this is quite natural. It's there in the heart. It's there. Very deep. Heart's very big. Our subtle body is carrying experiences and traumas and things from many lifetimes. My background's in psychology, and there are definitely, it was when Brian something, I forgot his name, he's become very prominent for past life regressions, which was accepted by the psychiatric board in Florida. He's a big guy. They let him go past. So reincarnation is now an acceptable study for university people. You won't be kicked out. If you do a serious university study on reincarnation, it's accepted now. No. Okay, so we have all these previous lifetimes, different things, different attitudes. And we start churning our devotional service, this comes out every single time we advance. But somebody protects all the devotees, protects everybody else. Who is that? Who protects them from the poison? Lord Shiva. Jai Haribo. He drinks the entire thing. And Prabhupada gives an analogy from this. He takes a lesson from drinking the poison about modern people, hippies. Huh? Yeah, he says, modern people, hippies, they try to imitate Lord Shiva by taking poison in the form of marijuana and things like that, you know. And then they sell the household furniture to buy more drugs. He said, Lord Shiva wasn't like that. He wasn't selling the household furniture and taking Parvati's ornaments and buying marijuana. He was great personality, you know, yeah. So, and that's, I think, the most prominent verse in this entire canto. There are not a lot of verses which show up as memory verses. I did memorize it, but I forgot it, okay? It says, it is the characteristic of great personalities to engage in sacrifice for the welfare of other living entities. This is considered the best way to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah. So that's it. We undergo austerities to help other people. And Krishna is so pleased by that. Tavakatam ritam tapta jivanam kaviriritam kaumasapaham shravana mangalam srimaratatam bhuvigrinantaye buridajanaha. Yes. This is how to catch Lord Chaitanya with this verse. Yeah. It's a Gopi Gita. Yeah. The nectar of your pastimes are a cure for all the people suffering in this world. You just start talking about Krishna. It's a very nice day. The sun is shining. Spring is just around the corner. We're talking about Krishna. This is right. This is what canto is. This is 10th chapter, Bhagavad Gita. And I've seen that people, you know, miserable people start becoming happy. They don't know they're associating with Krishna. They don't know that, but they are. right? Very purifying. Okay. So, and these are the most munificent people, Buridha Janaha. The greatest people or givers of charity are those people who give the holy name, who chant, who talk about Krishna, who distribute books. Yeah, book distribution. Yeah. Somehow or other, everybody here can be the best book distributor. Maybe you distribute one book, but it'll be to Mr. Putin. he'll become a Hare Krishna devotee, right? Okay. I want to tell you all, I've got a good book. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So just every salesman has his own technique, Prabhupada says. Everybody has his own way of preaching. So you've got to find out what is your way, your nature. Build your character. No, become self-realized. Build your character and preach. That's Prabhupada's formula. Figure out who you are, your nature, your attachments. Build your character and preach. That's all we're trying to do. Yeah. So, Lord Shiva takes the poison. They go on churning, you know. And finally, Lakshmi comes out. Beautiful stories about Lakshmi. Lakshmi, she selects a husband. And the demons, they're a little upset that Lakshmi accepts the demigods and Lord Narayan. But then after that, I think comes somebody else. I've forgotten who, Varuni or somebody, who's kind of like a barmaid, and instead of having nectar, she has beer. That'll occur here, I think, yeah, somewhere here. So they're happy with that. Actually, Lakshmi's okay, but this Varuni's better. You know, beer is better than nectar. Yeah. Okay. That's the sixth. And the second half is Mohini Murti. She comes out and bewilders everybody and has a pastime with Lord Shiva, like that. Then, sixth, seventh, okay. Then we go through our current Manu. What number is our current Manu? Seventh, yeah. What's his name? Vaivasvatu, okay. Now, I think in the eighth incarnation, now it's describing. Now we're finally caught up here. Before chapter 13, the first six Manus have been described with Gajendra, Korma, and now he'll go through the others, Vaivasvatu Manu, Sarvani Manu, which will be Bali Maharaj, and yesterday Dinabandhu Prabhu told the story, because this is what happens. We're going through the genealogy, and the Supreme Lord begged charity from Bali Maharaj. Hey, wait a second, you mentioned that. I want to hear about that. So then the eighth canto pretty much finishes off with the incarnation of Vamana and his pastimes with Bali, and one chapter from Matsya. So the whole, all the Manus, basically Gajendra, Hari with Gajendra, Korma, Vamana, and Matsya. That's the whole eighth canto like that. So we should know our way around the Bhagavatam, be able to find stories, ideas like that. You know? Vrindavan Das Thakur says, my only desire is to study Srimad Bhagavatam, life after life, with Lord Nityananda as my teacher. Nityananda ki jar. Lord Chaitanya says, you can only understand Srimad Bhagavatam when you become a madman like me. There are many madmen. We will become madmen like Lord Chaitanya. Okay. So you want to sign up? We're talking about this. Before we came here, we were in Pune for every day, 6 hours a day for 3 days with Atul Krishna, Mother Prasanta Adi Purush, who else? But Lakshmimoni, what's his name? Govinda from Govardhan Eco Village. I forget his name. Okay, Govinda something. Oh, yeah. He designed all their courses. And then Bala Govinda also. Going over this thing, what is a Bhakti Shastri? What is a Bhakti Bhai Baba? What is Bhakti Vedanta? What is the character development mentioned? By the time you finish Bhakti Vedanta, are you supposed to have achieved Prema Bhakti? Certified? He's Bhakti Vedanta. Or what is it? Now, how much? You know, okay, so it's a lot of work trying to define these things, take Prabhupada's instructions, and then make a nice systematic course that you can do all over the world and get the same result. So you know that if somebody's Bhakti Vedanta, you know he can explain to a scientist how the sun is closer to the earth than the moon. Can you do this? Yeah, maybe so. Okay. So, very systematic, very developed, and taking us through different levels of bhava, different levels of emotional development, until finally in the 10th canto, if
we're going through properly, we can appreciate, you know. Okay, so any kind of questions or comments at this point? You understand Srimad Bhagavatam? Okay, now I'm supposed to read all these texts. Okay, so we finished off text number 13. Okay, stand back. At no time will my hands leave my body by more than 6 inches. Okay, text number 14. Yo sao bhagavata badaha pritena sutala puna niveshito dike svargad adunasti svaradiva. With great affection, the personality of Godhead bound Bali and then installed him in the kingdom of Sutala, which is a very interesting story, but we'll hear it later, which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Bali Maharaj now resides on that planet and is more comfortably situated than Indra. O King, during the 8th Manvantara, the great personalities Galava, Diptiman, Parasuram, Ashvatthama, Kripacharya, Rishashringi, and our father Vyasadeva, the incarnation of Narayan, will be the seven sages. That's interesting, huh? All the Mahabharata people become the seven sages. For the present, they are residing in their respective ashrams. In the 8th Manvantara, the great, greatly powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, will take birth. His father will be Devaguya. His mother will be Sarasvati. He will take the kingdom away from Purandara, Lord Indra, and give it to Bali Maharaj. This is in the 8th Manvantara. O King, the 9th Manu will be Daksha Sarvani, who was born of Varuna. Among his sons will be Bhutaketu and Diptaketu. In this 9th Manvantara, the Paras and the Marchigarbhas will be among the demigods. The King of Heaven, Indra, will be named Adbhuta, and Dyutiman will be among the seven sages. Rishabhadev, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father, Ayushman, and his mother, Ambudhara. He will enable the Indra, named Adbhuta, to enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. The son of Upashloka, known as Brahmasarvani, will be the 10th Manu. Burishena will be among his sons, and the Brahmanas, headed by Havishman, will be the seven sages. Havishman, Sukriti, Satya, Jaya, Murti, and others will be the seven sages. The Suvasanas and Virudhas will be among the demigods, and Shambhu will be their king, Indra. In the home of Vishvarashta, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Visuchi, as the incarnation known as Vishvaksena. He will make friends with Shambhu. In the 11th Manvantara, the Manu will be Dharma Sarvani, who will be extremely learned in spiritual knowledge. From him there will be 10 sons, headed by Satyadharma. The Vihangamas, the Kamagamas, the Nirvanu Ruchis, and others will be the demigods. The king of the demigods, Indra, will be Vaidritta, and the seven sages will be headed by Aruna. The son of Aryaka, known as Dharmashetu, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will appear from the womb of Vaidritta, the wife of Aryaka, and will rule the three worlds. O King, the 12th Manu will be named Rudra Savarni, Devan, and Upadeva, and Deva Shrestha will be his sons. Whew, okay, about halfway through. In this Manvantara, the name, I guess, what was it, Mars Parikshit's going, ooh, ah, wow, ooh, ah, okay. Okay, he probably knows all these people. In this Manvantara, the name of Indra will be Ritu Dhamma, and the demigods will be headed by the Haritas. Among the sages will be Tapon Murti, Tapashvi, and Agni Draka. From the mother named Sunrita, and the father named Satya Saha, will come Swadhamma, a partial incarnation of the personality of God, and he will rule that Manvantara. The 13th Manu will be named Deva Sarvani,
and he will be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Among his sons will be Chitrasena and Vichitra. In the 13th Manvantara, the Sukarmas and Sutramas will be the demigods. Divaspati will be the king of heaven. Nirmoka and Tattvadarsho will be among the seven sages. The son of Devahotra, known as Yogeshvar, will appear as the partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Devaspati. The name of the 14 Manus will be, the name of the 14th Manu will be Indrasavarni. He will have sons like Uru, Gambira, and Buddha. The Pavitras and Chakshushas will be among the demigods, and Suchi will be Indra, the king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Suchi, Shuddha, Magadha, and others will be great. Others of great austerity will be the seven sages. Okay. O king, in the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vitana, and his father's name will be Satrayana. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihad Banu, and he will administer spiritual activities. And today's text, O king, O devotees, I have now described to you the 14 Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. And this is called a kalpa, or one day of Brahma. So papa ki jai. So we've been like trying to develop this academic preaching. You know, we were with the Bhaktivedanta Institute with Srup Dhamana Maharaj for some time. And we were coming once a year. So reporting, there's great opportunity. If you want to preach in this academic intellectual area, there's more than enough for things to do. My background is in psychology, so I started a little bit of Vastu preaching and realized I would have to go back and study more Vastu. Okay, I know psychology. And Prabhupada said, out of all the Western philosophers, Carl Jung, this Swiss psychologist, had the most common sense. He liked Jung, and Carl Jung was a contemporary of Freud, and he liked India, you know, very much. And very, very intelligent person, my estimation, he was on the level of above Virat Rup and below Paramatma, Hiranyagarbha. When he would look at you, like it or not, he would be receiving your karma and just talk to you about, ask you, what about that dog? Oh, the dog, yes, the dog. Yeah. He was on this kind of level of just experiencing things. So his autobiography, Memories, Dreams, and Reflections. Very interesting if you're interested in coming in contact with this area. So we've been organizing programs of science, psyche, and spirituality. The encounter of Carl Jung with the Bhagavata philosophy of India. And Nobel laureate candidates, National Museum of India, and the Justice of the Supreme Court of India, governors of West Bengal. Very, very successful, you know, programs. So these people, they know Jung, and you can tell us more about this from Jung's perspective? Yes, we can. Oh, so it's going ahead, and next year in Peru, we'll be organizing education and the sacred based along these lines. So anybody has any questions, we can talk more about it. And we have a magazine we're publishing every year now, and contact a web page like that, you know, so on. So very, very nice. And there are people on this level, like the four Kumaras, right? Sukadeva Goswami, just people on that level. And there are also big demons on this level too. So you've got to watch out. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we're also asked to talk. I had to read all these verses talking about that. Now I'm going to finish off here, and I'm German, so I have to finish on time. Otherwise, I'll have a emotional. I would call it an archetypal. Breakdown. Okay, today is the appearance day of Radha Damodar. Okay, so somebody gave me a copy of the book. Radha Damodar appeared or installed in 1542. When did Columbus discover America? 1492, I think. Yeah, okay. 1493, I think 1493. Okay. So it was already going on in the Americas. This was 7 years after Jiva Goswami had come to Vrindavan, and the deity was a wooden deity carved by Rupa Goswami,
Rupa Goswami himself, according to the book I got, carved the deity and gave it to Jiva Goswami to worship. This is from the, and was installed on Shukla Dwadasha during the month of Mahaga, which is today, tomorrow's Ekadasi. This is described in the Sadhana Dipika of Radha Krishna Goswami, as cited in the Sri Radhadamodara Katha, published by Gosai Press. Then it also explains that in the Stala Purana, which is Purana related to that state, that place, that the deities of Radha and Lalita came, right? And when they were installed, at least it was during the life of Jiva Goswami, but they needed no more information. And it says that the story is that one fisherman was fishing in the ocean, something heavy was in his nets, and he found these two murtis, two deities. He took them to the king, and the king had a dream that you should take these to Vrindavan or some sadhu. So he gave them to Jiva Goswami, and Jiva Goswami had a dream, and Radharani revealed which was Lalita and which was her. So that's the story of the Radharaman Goswamis. And of course, Prabhupada very much selected that as his place of worship. And today is also the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya. He was born 1017 AD, long time ago. Okay. At the age of 16, he married, and his father died within a few months after that, so he became head of the family at 16 years old. He took everybody to Kanchi, and there he became a student of the great Advaita sannyasi, or philosopher, Yadava Prakash, who was preaching Shankara's Advaita philosophy that right now we're all separated like islands in the water. Right? There's a lake, we see many different islands. But when the water of illusion goes away, what do we see? I am you, and you are me. Woohoo! Haribol! I'm you! Yeah. This is really a great philosophy to try and investigate if you're on LSD, right? try on LSD, try to go through this. It's, you know, as people sometimes don't come back when you try and do this, yeah. Wow. Okay, anyway, that's that Advaita philosophy that we're all, not only are we all one, but we're also all one with God. I'm God, I've forgotten, and now, you know, we're all somehow or other. It's a really strange idea, actually. Okay, so Yadava Prakash was preaching this. And at one point he was explaining one of the Puranas about, I think what he was saying was that the eyes of Lord Vishnu are red like the buttocks of a baboon. He was breaking it into different ways, saying the eyes of Lord Vishnu are red. And it's like the rising sun, but he was breaking it up to be like the buttocks of a baboon. So Ramanuja was massaging his legs and just started crying. And then, what are you crying for? And he said, Swamiji, you are so great. How can you give this interpretation? So Yadava Prakash was very angry. And the same thing happened the next day with another verse. He said, you should get out of here. You think you know more than me. Start your own school. So Ramanuja was respectful. He started his own school and giving a Vaishnava explanation. And Yadava Prakash was seeing this is not good. He's actually attracting a lot of people with this natural explanation, and we have to get rid of this guy. My dear students, should we kill Ramanuja? Yeah! Let's do him in. So, Ramanuja, we're going to go on pilgrimage to so-and-so, and we want to forgive these past things, and come with us. You know, okay. Okay, I'll come with you. Yeah. And his Ramanuja's disciple, Govinda, said, I don't trust Yadava Prakash. No, he invited him to go with him. So halfway there, the other students of Yadava Prakash tried to draw Govinda into their conspiracy. He told Ramanuja, get out of here now. So he ran. So they went off in the forest, and he told them, oh, a tiger captured Ramanuja and took him off, and he's dead. And they said, oh, that's terrible. Ha, ha, ha. That's terrible. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. So they came back after their pilgrimage, and there was Ramanuja preaching and making more disciples, and now they were afraid. Maybe, oh, somebody must know about this. So no more murder attempts. Okay. His philosophy is not Advaita, it is Vishishtadvaita, which is qualified non-dualism. Qualified non-dualism. Okay. So Buddha, Shankara, Ramanuja, and then Madhva. Okay. Right, one more here. And then when he was there, I guess he was in Sri Rangam. No, he met a very, very wonderful sannyasi, or
Brahmana, I guess, maybe sannyasi, who was Yamunacharya, right? Came and he was so impressed with this Vaishnava character, he said, please accept me as your disciple. So he's a disciple of Yamunacharya. And then the news came that his beloved guru was leaving his body, so he left to go to Sri Rangam as fast as he could. But before he got there, Yamunacharya had left his body. But when he came in, there was the beautiful body of Yamunacharya sitting there in samadhi, and the disciples in anxiety crying, and immediately allowed Ramanujacharya to approach him. And Yamunacharya's hand was like this, you know. Three of his fingers were tight like in a fist. What is that? And Ramanuja said, he wants me to accomplish three things. Yeah? Okay. The first thing is he wants me to protect the devotees by giving them nectar. And I think that he was supposed to write a book on deity worship so everybody could engage in deity worship and associate with Krishna. As soon as he said that, one of the fingers came undone. Okay. The second thing he wants me to do is to comment on Vedanta Sutra. Okay. Second finger came undone. And he wants me to name one of my disciples Parashara Muni. The third finger came undone like that. Okay. So he was preaching very actively, making commentaries. Prabhupada says we take advantage of the strong preaching of Ramanujacharya to smash the teeth of Advaita Vedanta. Okay. And many other pastimes like that. But now it's time for prasadam. So I want to thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ramanujacharya ki jai. Radha Damodar ki jai.